your presence. That's where I want to be.
Are you ready? Open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? On and on it goes. But what I want to talk to you about a little bit here is progressive Christianity. Now, progressive, that sounds like you're making progress, doesn't it? But in this term, it's a very dangerous thing that's happening right now in the churches in the body of Christ. And if we don't know what it is, how can we warn people about it? So today is kind of a little documentary of what is progressive Christianity, because it's here, it's not coming, it's here, it's in our midst. And the Bible promises us that scoffers are going to increase. It's going to be the sign of the end times, scoffers. So we need to know what a scoffer is. So I'm going to give you the definition. But progressive Christianity is based on three wicked practices. And the first one is scoffing. To scoff means to debase those who believe the Bible is true. It also creates division in the church. It creates confusion. It creates doubt. To cast doubt on scriptures. To scoff, disrespect the belief of someone else. When I got saved in Juster's, which was a men's clothing store back in the 70s, and I got saved one weekend, I came back and I told them I was a born-again Christian. They mocked me. They laughed at me. All these guys said, oh, well, we're going to have a party in hell. I remember that I'd bring my Bible to work and they'd mock. You guys gone through mockery? Well, the Bible says in the end times, mockery, scorning is going to increase. It's going to get worse. And if you listen to some of these movements, they talk about how great the church is going to be at the end. But if you listen to the Bible, it says these things are going to increase. The falling away is here. The scoffing is here. The persecution is here. So you have to decide, what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the Bible? Or are you going to believe the culture? And the churches in the culture that are trying to bring in the unsaved to the point of not trying to get them converted, but just tolerating everybody. Everybody puts up with everyone. There's no separation. There's no division. Now we are having a mixed multitude in our churches. And this is the way they want. They want to sniff out, whatever you want to call it, true Christianity. So in progressive Christianity, the first thing you're going to see is scoffing. Then you're going to see a subversion. Now, what does that mean? That means to undo traditional doctrine. And we're going to go through a couple of these today. Things that the Bible says we've stood on and we believe for years are now going to be coming into question. And the target, and why we need to know this, grandparents and parents, is our children. And it's our grandchildren. And this is going to be in the programs, in the churches, the big churches, the celebrity churches. The kids are targeted in this progressive Christianity. We need to know what's going on and when we have to withdraw. And at the end, I'm going to share some things of, has this progressive Christianity hit your church? Then the third part of a wicked practice, the first one, scoffing, subversion to undo traditional doctrines, is rebellion. Total rebellion about what God says, his ways, his plans. It's against God's word as truth. And now comes the leaven, half-truths. Now, this is why it's so important to know your Bibles, because these movements bring in truth, but it's a half-truth. And then there's the leaven. And how many know leaven? Leaven's what? The whole lump. So it's rebellion against God's truth, and it's leaven towards a more tolerant, sin-affirming direction in muddy preaching. And some of the things and why it's so hard, first of all, in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, talks about all the word is inspired. They don't believe that. So they deconstruct. Now, the word deconstruct, that means they dismantle. They unravel. They're dismantling Christianity in our very churches now. This is happening so fast. It's like a train going on a track that's just really, really moving fast. We are in the end time deception, up to our eyeballs. So the words we used to define truth no longer mean what we thought they meant. They use the same words like sin, but sin isn't missing the mark now. Sin is just not in getting your dream, the one you wanted to have your dream. All these words are being twisted. So it's a whole new way to view church. Remember, I've warned you before, watch out for rethink, for all the re's they put before all these words. These movements that say, you know, we have to shift, we have to change, we have to go forward because Christianity has to progress. So if that means that Christianity has to progress, it means in its infancy it was no good. It was just a good starting place. So now we progress to make it better. Now it sounds good, but once you see the teachings, you'll see this is not good. This is very, very dangerous. It's another Jesus and it's another gospel. Okay, it's a different Jesus. What they say in this progressive Christianity that rules are bad. Rules are bad, chaos is good. We all can talk about, have conversations. That's a big word in these new emergent churches, have conversations. We can cast doubt on scriptures because, you know, that doesn't really resonate with me. It gives us all these liberties to doubt. So to doubt in progressive Christianity is the new cool thing. Did you know that? Now the thing that why it's so dangerous is because now there's going to be blurry lines between the church and the state. And this has to happen, as much as we don't like it. The church and the state, they have to make a one world religion. And unfortunately, many evangelicals are being used to bring it about. Scoffers, very beginning, Genesis 3:1, hath God said. Progressive Christianity, hath God said. Still saying the same thing. Hath God said. Casting doubt. God really say that? In the Hebrew, that word scoffer means ambassador. He voices his disagreements, ridicules all who stand against him, and then he recruits others to join his side. This is what scoffers do. They make fun of the Bible. They make fun of the Christians, and then they recruit people on their side against God and against the Bible. So they're scoffers. They choose to disbelieve and doubt God and his word and ridicule those who follow God. Now remember, scoffing is going to be one of the signs of the end times, and it's not going to go away. It's going to increase. So we have to know what this stuff is so we can stand against it and we can help people come out of the deception of it. Scoffers, they challenge anything that threatens their high opinion of themselves. And now because we're in the songs that sing about us, we have sermons that tell us how great we are, we have a narcissistic society and a narcissistic church that tell us how great we are, that if any of that's challenged, you know, you tell them to pick up your cross and follow Jesus, that's not a good popular message. True Christianity is a narrow way. Progressive Christianity is broad, broad views. In fact, it's got such a huge umbrella, I can't even tell you all of it in what I'm going to share with you today. They redefine marriage, progressive Christianity. They're going to redefine marriage. They're going to redefine genders. Have you been hearing this? They're going to redefine faith, faith in your faith. It's not faith in the Lord anymore. It's faith in your faith. Everything is about you. And actually, it puts you under works. It puts you under legalism. It puts you under all this stuff you got to do. Another carrot, you know, this is your promise, but you got to do all this. So it creates a fantasy world in which reality becomes whatever we feel it is. This is very bad to your mental health. When you have faith in your faith and you think you can control the universe and you think your words are so powerful, when these things don't happen, there is a lot of emotional abuse that's happening in people all over. And I'm going to give you a testimony at the end. In Romans 1:21, it says, claiming to be wise, they become fools. Scoffing is a sign of the last days. A scoffer is a blind man filled with pride who walks with delight on the road to hell. And they don't want to listen. In Proverbs 13:1, it says the scoffer or the scorner doesn't hear a rebuke. They're so arrogant that they don't receive correction. And this is why we have to stay humble. When we found out some of the things we've learned in the past were not true, or they were this new apostolic reformation, which you want to talk a little bit about today. The new apostles brought it in with new visitations from Jesus, all these things. We got to renounce it, and we got to repent for even being a part of it. We followed men into some of these doctrines. We thought we were doing right. We were sincere, sincerely wrong. So we have to be careful in the last days because many scoffers will say they're Christians. And now some of these very scoffers are pastors, they're preachers, they're on radio shows, they're everywhere, and they put down the true biblical meanings of things, which we're going to go into what they put down, and then they lift up other things. So you can't rebuke religious scoffers. They will say, stop judging. Who are you? Who are you to correct me? Who do you think you are? And now you're a legalist. They call you a Pharisee because they're mockers. They refuse to take correction. And we found that out. Boy, when you try to correct somebody and they don't receive it, you're the problem, right? Progressive Christianity is another word for postmodernism, which is a social movement. And this is a deception. It's a social movement bent on implementing Marxism without saying so. Now, there's a lot of these movements are not going to give you what they really are. And this is the thing. God's not secretive. The Bible isn't secretive. These movements are. Their agendas are very secretive to take you away from truth and into another gospel. The modern church, I just kind of wrote this from myself. The modern churches are ever morphing and emerging, seven mountaining, rethinking, shifting, pulsing, taking dominion, decreeing and declaring, staying positive, and taking trips to heaven. The new radicals who walk in faith and power with signs and wonders are the new breed. New breed of what? What was wrong with the old breed? Putting down the old, lifting up the new. Half-truths. Half the truth is often a great lie. So we have to want the whole truth. This is going to make us all get into our Bibles in these end times. To doubt now is the new cool. Let's look at Revelations 22, which we talk a lot about here. Revelations 22, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth of the words of the prophecy of this book. Now remember in verse 17 it says come. God will let anybody who wants to come, come. He's not saying your sin is too great, you've missed it too bad. Thank God, no. None of us are here because we're flawless. We're all flawed. We just admitted it. It says, come, whosoever's hungry and thirsty. But then he says, if you're going to come to him, guess who's the boss? We don't come and change the rules. We have to come under authority of what he says. He said, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy. This should put the fear of God in us. If any man shall add unto these things. Now who adds? The new apostolic reformation adds on to the Bible. They add on new revelations through their prophets that have visitations that tell you stuff that the Bible doesn't tell you. That's adding on to the Word of God. And who brought this in? We've talked about this before, New Thought, then we go to Word of Faith, and now we go to New Apostolic Reformation, Progressive Christianity, the Emergent Church. Adding on, but who takes away? He says, now don't just add, but then we are not to take away. That's just as big of a problem. He said, God shall add unto them the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away, now the postmodernism subtracts. So now we see the new apostolic is adding, but now we see the post-progressive churches, what are they doing? They're taking away. They're subtracting. So they subtract, and what do? They put doubt. Oh, God didn't really say that. See how that is? Now we're going to go into this this progressiveness, which is taking away from the word of the book of this prophecy. God's going to put away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. I don't want that, do you? So we want to walk in the balance of what God says, not adding to and not taking away. All these movements either add or take away. Does that make sense? And then these progressive Christians, their real agendas are hid behind vision statements. The vision of the pastor. They get direct revelation from God, and you cannot question their vision. Now, there's some truth to some of this, but what's coming in these new movements is they have been trained that if you question their vision, they get rid of you. Does that sound like God? Does that sound like something he'd say? No, but they're so trained, and there's also so much control and manipulation in these movements that it puts fear in God's people, and it's very abusive. I want you to see this testimony at the end. This is more power than God gave pastors and leaders. God created them to be overseers, to help, to watch over your soul, not to control you, not to shear you, not to merchandise you, not to exploit you, right? So, but there's a lot of stuff that's hidden behind these vision statements. Progressive Christianity, let's get into what it is. This is what it says on the home page. You need to know this because it's trendy. It's trendy right now. It's very liberal, and it is Marxism. Okay, in their home page, it says, by calling ourselves progressive, we mean we are Christians who recognize the faithfulness of other people who have other names for the way to God's realm. To God's realm. Okay, now here we're going into what? Experiences. We're going into what? Mysticism. And acknowledge that their ways are true for them as our ways are true for us. So progressive Christianity says, we let you know there are many paths to God. How many know that's not the Bible? So who's going to be persecuted in the end times? True Christians, because we're going to be pulled out as being haters and dividers. We're really, they're the ones that are coming and putting all this, see what I mean? See how it's a setup? Progressive is socialism. Just make it clear, this is socialism. They reject all scripture is God-breathed. They don't believe that the scriptures, what God says it is. They rewrite scripture, they rethink, they change, and they shift. Beware if your pastor is saying there's many changes that are coming. Beware if your pastor's preaching on the seven mountains mandates. This is dominionism. This is, we are bringing heaven down to earth. And guess what? Heaven is never coming down to earth. We're on the earth, and we're going to go to heaven, but we're not going to bring the two together. But dominionism believes that Jesus can't come because we have to take over the earth. It's a lot of work. And it's not happening. It's never going to happen because God said the world's going to get worse. What are they doing? They're saying the world's going to get better. Their false doctrine abounds with these pastors, these televangelists, authors, conference speakers, everyone that's popular. If Jesus was here today, do you know what? I don't think he'd be popular. I don't think he'd be let on a radio or television show too much. Why? Because he's preaching truth. A lot of famous celebrity preachers are half-stepping it. And their conference speakers and CEO Christian organizations, they're morphing into new things. They're creating new Bibles, the Voice, the Passion Bibles, the Message Bible. Beware when you hear terms as social reforms and social justice. This should give you a red flag. These terms are doublespeak. That means they say one thing, but they mean another. Doublespeak is a big thing of progressive Christianity. They deconstruct. That means they tear down. They tear down the Bible, but then they'll have these meetings for pastors, and they'll say, you don't have to do like we do, but then they tell you how to do it, and they condemn you if you don't do it. That's doublespeak. They're lying, but it's very subtle lying. It's called doublespeak. Beware when you hear terms as social reform, social justice, also political correctness. Culture attacks, what are they going to be? They're going to attack the family. You're going to see feminism. You're going to see get rid of the male. Now it's going to attack the white male. They just, anything they can to cause racial division. And guess what? God loves us all the same. They're going to redefine family, marriage, gender, races. They're all preparations for their ultimate goal. What is the ultimate goal? The New World Order. Chaos. They create the problem. Then they come in with the solution for what the problem they created. Study false flags. It's very important. You know what false flags are. What is progressive Christianity in a nutshell? First of all, it's a wake-up call for the sleeping church. We need to wake up. It can be hard to define progressive Christianity because it's an umbrella for a lot of different terms, for a lot of different labels, for a lot of different things. But it's summarized, it's a lower view of the Bible. You don't look at the Bible the way that we look at it. It's like, well, that's God speaking. It's like, okay, they're going to lower the view. Feelings are emphasized, and not just in their sermons, but in their music. And they make Jesus their lover. Kiss me, hug me, hold me. Feelings are emphasized. And guess what? He's a spirit. We can't. But they want to get you into this mood with the lights and the all this music to get you into this mode. Essential Christian doctrines are open for reinterpretation. Now we're going to shift. We're going to rethink. We're going to revalue. We're going to do all these things, evolve. Historic terms are redefined. The heart of the gospel message shifts from sin and redemption to what? Social justices. Progressive Christianity often teaches an incomplete, or what? It's a total false gospel. Now, what is progressive Christianity? Now, biblically, this is our view, and then I'm going to give you what they believe, okay? We believe in the Bible, in him we have redemption, what? Through his blood. In Ephesians 1:7, he himself bore our sins on his body on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many of the forgiveness of sins. Matthew 26:28. I'm just giving you some scriptures. We believe in the blood. We believe in the resurrection. We believe in his return, right? These are basics for the Christian belief. They challenge these basic doctrines. And this is a sad thing. Your children are going to hear this. Your children are going to hear this. If you just think you can go to a church now, a big church, and throw them off into a classroom, you better know what they're teaching in these classrooms. You better make sure that they're not getting progressive Christianity, because it's infiltrated. They're not going around the churches. They're going through them. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died. What did he die? For our sins, right? In accordance with the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 13:3. These are basic Bible truths, that Jesus died for our sins in our place as our substitute. What is wrong with those basic doctrines? This is what progressive Christianity believes. This concept is something many progressives refer to as a cosmic child abuse. They're coming against the very cross and the very death of Jesus for our sins. The idea that God would require the blood sacrifice of his only son is seen as immoral. Now, if you're a little child and you don't know this, they're like, that would be really abusive, wouldn't it? That Jesus would have to die and shed blood? See how they go into the reasoning and pull you into your mind? Nothing more than a pagan idea, they say, early Christians adopted from the culture around them. So this is progressive Christianity. What does it do? It takes away from original sin. It takes away from the cross, away from the blood. We don't need that anymore. We don't really need a savior. You're okay by yourself. Do you see why this is another gospel? And then they need to make over. They want a makeover of Christianity by human efforts. Stuff like save the earth, save the planet. They're going to have green pastors now, pastors, P-A-S, that are going to come and tell you about how green, how we're going to save the earth. This is sad, but this is all coming. People are simply no longer moved by the notion that they are horrible sinners from birth, redeemed only by the sacrifice of an impossible, perfect man at the hands of a bloodthirsty tribal god, they say. We don't need that. God just likes blood, and we don't even believe in that God. Progressive Christianity, they seek to heal the world through humanitarian efforts like environmentalism, embracing the oneness. What's that? God is all. God is in all. Shaq, he is in everything. The Shack, the movie, embrace the oneness of all humanity, social justice, and political activism. The Bible teaches that Jesus' blood atoned for our sin. He was raised from the dead. Without these teachings, we don't have Christianity. So progressive Christianity is what? Not real, true Christianity. It's false. It's a false doctrine, and it's everywhere. The way we believe in the Bible, at some point Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead, okay? Yeah. After judgment, those who reject faith in Jesus in this life will be separated from God forever in a place of eternal, place called hell, okay? They don't believe this. Progressive Christianity deny the original sin, so guess what? They deny there's a hell. In the progressive paradigm, heaven and hell are words that describe our joys and our suffering here on earth. Heaven is the hope of an earthly future. Historically, in other words, biblically, Christians have looked forward to see a future eternal home away from evil and be in the presence of God forever. So do you see how progressive Christianity comes against our very beliefs of sin, being Jesus coming and making atonement, being our substitute for that, being raised from the dead, and even our future. It robs our future of heaven. And all these different things are going to try to bring in this leaven of false Christianity. Okay? A couple of more things. Hang on with me. A couple of signs, and I'm going to go through this one really fast. How do you know if progressive Christianity is in your church? First of all, beware of change agents. Proverbs 24:21, meddle not with those that are given to change. In other words, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not emerging. He's not morphing. He's not changing. He's not shifting. He doesn't have to have new special elite men come and change the Bible. He doesn't need new translations, right? These are all add-ons. And new age terms. There's a lower view of the Bible. I think I've gave these already. Feelings are emphasized over facts. The doctrines are being changed for open interpretation. Terms are redefined. The heart of the gospel message shifts from sin and redemption to social justice. And now you're going to hear a lot more. And what happens in social justice, there's good things. But they go and maybe they're going to all go to church and they're going to go work on someone's house, but you can't talk to them about Jesus. You can't tell them they need to be born again. You just do good works. The whole reason we're here is to preach the gospel, right? It's wonderful if you get to help people. We all love people helping us. But the most important thing is that they know Jesus. Now, the last thing I want to share is a testimony from this book. And this is power-packed. Stay with me on this, okay? This is from England. And it's from a little book. I want you guys to get it if you can. It's probably just a few bucks. It's called Narrow is the Way. Have you really found it? And I'm going to probably share a little bit more from this next week. But this testimony talks about he went and he found a church. Like many of us back in the day, we thought we found the right church. It's like, wow, this is preaching. The Bible is being taught there. There's a sincere worship of God. And then through the years, something's happened. What changed? And he starts talking about what changed. He said that something had fundamentally changed, though it would take several years to see that this church that once was this is now totally unrecognizable. You don't even know it's the same church. What happened? And what I like about this testimony, and get this because I'm not going to share all of this. There's this a lot in depth, and he names a lot of names. But This man had mental problems as a result of this, and this is what's happening to a lot of people. They are being tormented because they're being taught one thing. They know something is wrong, like the phone call I got today. This church, when we know something's wrong, I just feel so alone. Everybody else seems like it's okay. They're all going along with it, and I know God's not in this. The thought occurred to me that maybe it was just me. Maybe it's just my own lack of understanding or faith that has prevented me from accepting what's being taught, this new stuff that's being taught. I choose to ignore the warning bells in my head and heart abandoned my God-given intelligence, and I followed the crowd. This marked the beginning of a landslide that would ultimately wreck my faith, my family, and most of all, friendships and my mental health. These doctrines are dangerous. They're dangerous. And some we got to start speaking out about it because it's happening in our midst. And because people don't study, they don't know what these false doctrines are. He goes on and he tells you what happened. He said, out went something and in came something. Okay, so I'm going to just give you a brief. What went out? Out went supplication, asking God, praying, making quests to God. In came declaration, commanding God. Number one, the use of presumptuous language. I declare, pull down, release financial breakthrough. Such declaration effectively leaves God out and focuses what? On you. All of a sudden now, it's all that you have to do. It's all about your faith now. Out went evangelism and making disciples. Communicating the biblical gospel to non-believers and teaching and training converts in the Christian life. So out went being a disciple, and in comes motivation, motivational speaking. The pastor stood before the crowd and told them that the message of Christmas was that God wants to say yes to your dreams. In came your dream. In comes mysticism and occult practices. In fact, through the Alice Bailey teachings, what we've been talking about, they said to be a real preacher in the end times, if you're not a mystic, you'll be wiped out because you're going to have to go along with the crowd to have a big following, to have a big church, to have all these things. You got to die to that stuff because the whole spirit of this doctrine is coming in as mysticism and occultism practices. So in comes a mysticism. And they did an outreach in the pub, and what they did, they invited people to get a spiritual reading. Okay, now this isn't even scriptural, but today it's called prophesying over everybody in your church. And in fact, this man eventually does lose his marriage through one of these preachers that came in from the United States, and that he ended up having it took his wife away, which I'm not going to go into that whole thing. But he said all the way up to the end, he didn't know his wife was having this secret affair with this preacher, prophet, apostle. Everybody else was prophesying how his marriage was in a new season, that this was the best season of their marriage. Do you see why it freaked him out and he had mental problems? You're being told by the man of God in the house, this is a new season for your marriage, and in reality, your wife is being taken away from you by another man using the name of God. Coming in teaching, and they say, well, this isn't a part of our ministry, but they still let all of his YouTubes up, and they still have this man preaching today. How many know? This something is wrong with these. Hello? So he said, our belief was to give people prophetic words, but we're instructed we cannot talk about Jesus, or we can't preach on sin. They're going into bars. What are they doing? Giving them spiritual readings. But we're not going to tell them about Jesus. And they can't tell them to repent. In came culture. Influencing the culture as per the Seven Mountain Mandate. That's another whole message. Out went testing and using discernment. Can't, you know, if you go through the Bible, it'll tell you, you better test, you better try, you better know, are they adding, are they taking away from the Bible? Whose responsibility? It's not your pastor. If you don't have a good pastor, he's not going to do that. You better be doing that for yourself. Okay, but out went testing and using discernment, and guess what came in? Touch not the Lord's anointed. Anything less than wholesale acceptance of the teaching of the NAR leaders carried the strong implication that your faith was lacking, that you had a critical spirit, you're religious, or now you're divisive and you're a Jezebel. Now, there is a true Jezebel spirit, but that's a spirit that the Bible says we aren't even to, you know, put up with, but what they're using is they're twisting it, so when you're coming and testing them as false, they use that very scripture against you. Now, you're the Jezebel. So you see why you've got to be rooted and grounded and know what you're doing in these end times? In came false prophecy. This became absolutely rampant. And everyone thinks it's a move of God. Everybody line up and I have a word for everybody. Yeah, I do too. Out went reality. Out went reality. In came unreality. And this is a lot through the faith message. Out went reality. You can't deal with your symptoms. You can't deal with what's really going on. You can't deal with troubles in your life. You have to pretend and fake that I'm on top and I'm rising. Everything's wonderful. Living in the real world, acknowledge that good and bad things happen to people regardless. You're living in a world that's fallen. You live where the devil is loose. You live in a fallen planet, right? But not there. In came unreality, driven by the lie of positive thinking. Just got to be positive. Can't think negative. Don't you dare speak negative. You know what it makes? Weird people is what this makes. Strange people, you can't fellowship. You have a herd of people come in, you can't talk. You can't be honest. You can't be real. You're a bunch of fakos, right? I'm not mad at anyone. I just get passionate. In came trips to heaven. Woo, woo! Okay. Yes, we were even had practical teaching on how to visit heaven from the comfort of our own chair. Because it was believed, assumed to be genuine, you could give your own account of what you saw, heard, and experienced on your trip. And no one could question your claims, no matter how bizarre or out of line from Scripture they were. And so guess what? When in came the trips to heaven, guess what else came in? Delusion. I'm perfectly serious when I assert that continued exposure to an indulgence in positivity, denial, could cause serious and long-lasting damage to your mental health. You can't face reality. This is spiritual abuse. I struggled with these things over the years, but I somehow always let myself be convinced that it was my own lack of faith or that I had just gotten I just haven't gotten there yet. I just don't understand why I'm not getting what everybody else is getting. Whatever the case, I was about ready to renounce Christianity and walk away altogether. This is how sad this is. This is the risk for all who buy into the new apostolic reformation, delusion or delusionment, and loss of faith in true biblical Christianity. Because now they're into feelings, they're into worship is now an experience. You got to have a high. And if you don't have that high, then, you know, see, when you just base it on the word, you're already complete in Christ. If you feel good or not, you're saved. You're going to heaven. You are complete. It is finished. They keep putting another carrot you got to run through. Of course, give them all your money. But then you're going to get that next level. And sometimes you have to pay $1,000 to get to that level. The less biblical the teaching and practices, the more controlling and dogmatic the environment and the leadership style became. Watch out for controlling, manipulative leaders. And then people are afraid to leave. And he talked about everybody that left, all the other leaders would gather around and they'd attack that leader. He said he got to the point where he couldn't even walk around town because everybody was talking against him. That's how hard it is to come out. You wonder why some people these don't come out when they're in leadership? Because they're afraid of the abuse that's going to happen. And you do, trust me, firsthand. You get shunned, you get told lies, people say you're crazy. They tell you all sorts of different things. Why? Because there's got to be something wrong with you to leave something as fantastic as this. I say you're the smart one. And of course, they're always saying, God's doing a new thing. God's doing something new. The new apostolic reformation, now this is the model for the church in the 21st century. I had to choose whether I was going to get on board or miss out what God's doing on the earth. This is happening everywhere. In other words, I was either for the NAR or against God. How controlling is that? Who wants to be against God? Who wants to touch the anointed? Right? So people get sucked into this. Another subtle and cruel device of control was that frequently employed was talking about destiny, hopes, and dreams, and they actively discouraged people from pursuing their own dreams. I used to always wonder this too. You hear these great message on pursuing your dreams, but it was always you lay down your dreams and support the pastor. that is subtle. You serve that pastor and you're going to be blessed. But that's deception. That's part of their control, their brainwashing, their manipulation. You never get your dreams or opportunities. I saw so many opportunities of musicians that could have sang with this guy or could have been promoted under this. Oh, you can't do that. You got to serve this pastor right now. And guess what? That person got old and never that opportunity left him. And it was totally abusive and control. That person never got to do what God told him to do because he was under the manipulation and control of that leader. Does that make sense? That's sad, because they preach on dreams, but you can't have your own. That always used to bug me. I'm like, why is this being, it's doublespeak is what it is. Okay, I'm almost done. Lots of people left the church. In each instance, the pastor would inform the remaining leaders that the person had either a heart issue, of course you got a bad heart, and they informed the remaining leaders that the person had either a heart issue, were unwilling to serve the vision of the pastor, that there are people that are bad, and we know that, but I'm talking about this is coming for the majority of people. You're always going to have people that are rebellious, but these are good people I'm talking about that love the Lord. They had a rebellious or critical spirit, or they were a Jezebel, they were told. The way these fallouts were handled by the pastor became a subtle instrument of control for those that remained. There's no easy way out. They were always excommunicated afterwards. I didn't want to join that number, so I stayed. He stayed because he didn't want to be abused. He didn't want to be excommunicated until finally one of these leaders took his wife and had an affair with her and ended his marriage. Then he had to move to a new town. A final thought. I was lied to. A poor counterfeit was sold to me by a cartel of con artists and charlatans, but it was my choice to get in line and exchange gold for garbage. So ultimately, we have to make the decision. Some of these things are out there, but you have to make the decision. You have to know you're not going to follow the crowd, because in the day, and if you look over there and see the Antichrist spirit, it's going to be massive. Beware when Christianity becomes popular, right? Because these things, you think they're going to let the real Jesus come alive, and it was going to be what? Persecuted, pushed down. You're going to be harassed. When you stand for what the Bible says, you're going to be called the hater in these end times. And they say it's all unity now, but that's doublespeak too. That's a lie, because it might be unity at the beginning, but they're going to snuff out Christianity. True Christianity is being deconstructed right now. The progressive, the new age, all of these things are going to be popular. But Jesus didn't call us to be popular. And I just want you to think, the day you got saved, was anybody else with you? Maybe, maybe not. It was your decision. And you said, I'm going to pick up my cross and follow him. Guess what? Nothing's changed. Maybe Christianity got popular for a season, but we got to come back to our roots. I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I'm going to follow. And everyone said, amen.